On Tuesday, September 9th, Israel conducted an airstrike in Doha, Qatar, targeting a meeting of top Hamas leaders. It took place around 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon, Doha's local time. Now pause for a second. Qatar, that's far away from Israel. And Doha, that's not a battlefield. It's usually the place where peace talks happen, where negotiations take place, where mediators sit at the table. Although we know Qatar is notorious, but on the international stage, many peace talks and important negotiations have happened in Doha. So why would Israel strike there? That's exactly why this story is such a big deal. Now, this was not a random attack. Israeli military had intelligence that top Hamas leaders were in Doha, so they went for it. The target was a compound in the West Bay Lagoon area of Doha. It's a high-profile district near embassies, schools, residential compounds. Israel's main target was assassinating key Hamas political figures and Palestinian negotiators, including the group's chief negotiator, Khalil al-Hayya. And why was he the target? Because as per Israeli intelligence, this Hamas political leader was meeting in Doha to discuss a US-backed ceasefire proposal between Israel and Hamas. When I say Hamas, it is the Gaza side. That means Qatar is again playing the role of a mediator, and Israel clearly doesn't like it as well as doesn't care where the negotiation is happening. That also means breaching Qatar's sovereignty and territorial integrity is the least of their concern. Even the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said in simple words, "Those days are over when leaders of terror enjoy immunity anywhere." In other words, Israel's new message is, "We'll hunt you down wherever you are, even if you are in what you think is a safe zone." If you see, this isn't new for Israel. You remember the 1972 Munich Olympics massacre, Operation Wrath of God. Israeli intelligence agency Mossad hunted down those responsible for the attack. So Israel has done this before. What's new now is that earlier Israel avoided carrying out strikes in neutral countries like Qatar, but this time the gloves are off. Now I know many of you are curious about how Israel carried out the airstrike. Don't worry, the explanation is actually quite simple, and I will cover the route in just a few lines at the end. What's more important right now is understanding the complexity behind Israel's decision to strike a neutral country like Qatar. Remember, Qatar hosts a major US military base and is very close to the United States. And since America is also Israel's strongest ally, you can imagine the tough calculation Israel had to make before taking such a step. Now, Qatar is obviously furious. They have called this attack barbaric and said Israel was trying to sabotage peace efforts, and they even call it a serious violation of sovereignty and international law. Other Arab countries like Egypt, Jordan, UAE, Saudi Arabia, they all have also condemned it. And even Europe joined in. France, Germany, Spain, UK, etc. They all have condemned Israel. And then came Donald Trump's reaction. He said he was not informed by Israel. Trump did condemn publicly Israel for doing that, and he called bombing Qatar, a US ally, was a mistake, but also added that eliminating Hamas is a worthy goal. So you see the mixed reactions. Gulf countries and Muslim countries are angry. Europe is showing concern, and US is showing mixed signal. The next big question is, what exactly was going on in that ceasefire proposal meeting that Israel found unacceptable, or simply didn't want to move forward? Whether you know this or not, US President Donald Trump has put forward a comprehensive plan for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. But if you look at the terms and conditions of that plan, it is not accepted by all parties. When I say parties, I mean the opposition party. So these are the broad points of Trump's ceasefire proposal. Number 1. Immediate release of all Israeli hostages, living and deceased, within 48 hours by Hamas, in exchange of Israel releasing Palestinian prisoners, also within 48 hours. Point number 2. A ceasefire has to take effect for 60 days or until negotiation conclude, mediated directly by Trump, with the goal of a permanent end to hostilities while talks continue. Point number 3. Negotiations during the ceasefire would focus on disarmament of Gaza, the formation of new non-Hamas Palestinian governing authority, amnesty for Hamas members, meaning forgiving their crime, and the withdrawal of Israeli forces after a new government is installed or negotiations are completed. Point number 4. Open flow of humanitarian aid to Gaza upon ceasefire implementation. And point number 5. Trump guaranteed good faith negotiations and described this as the last warning with threats of consequences if Hamas did not comply. Now both Israel and Hamas have acknowledged the receiving of the proposal. Israel's foreign minister and Netanyahu has said that they have formally accepted Trump's terms, specifically the hostages for prisoners exchange and ceasefire. Even Hamas has shown openness to negotiation, but demanded a public Israeli commitment to end the war and withdraw forces, as well as Palestinian self-rule in Gaza. So these are the terms of Trump's proposed plan: ceasefire, hostage release, flow of aid, and reconstruction of governing authority. Now the million-dollar question is, why this Doha airstrike? Now, the reason these Hamas and Palestinian leaders met in Doha was to review this plan, and that is when the airstrike happened. So the next immediate question that comes up is, why would Israel sabotage the progress of negotiation? Calling it real progress might still be too early, but at least talks were moving. Why would Israel strike in Doha? Now, three possible reasons come to mind. Reason number one, Israeli intelligence must have picked up some intel that Hamas was deliberately dragging talks to squeeze out more concessions. That's why, by seeing an opening, Israel decided to strike. Reason number two, now it could be that the Hamas negotiators in Doha were the very people Israel views as the masterminds of the October 7th attack. From Israel's perspective, this was a rare chance to eliminate them while they were within reach. And since Trump's negotiations plan already includes forming a new non-Hamas Palestinian authority, Israel might have calculated that removing these figures would not derail the talks. They could continue without them. And the third reason is, Israel never really wanted any kind of ceasefire plan in the first place, because negotiating with Hamas is like restarting the whole mess and give Hamas and Palestinian extremists a chance to restart, regroup all over again with a new approach. And already Israel has a plan to relocate Palestinians in Gaza to places like South Sudan. I have a video on it. Watch it, you will understand. So the point is, for Israel, instead of negotiation, remove the threat once and for all. They are like, let's neutralize these leaders and relocate Gaza people. And everything in Gaza Strip has to be done and dusted so that the route is destroyed once and for all. Now, to figure out which one of these options may be the real reason, we need to look at Trump's reaction on all this. So, if we look at Trump's statement, he said, this strike was totally Israeli Prime Minister's decision, not mine. But then in the same statement, he also said, eliminating those Hamas members who profited off the misery of Gaza people is a worthy goal. You see two opposite statements by the same person in one tweet. That means he is not happy with what Israel did, but he's also okay now that Israel has done it. And then in the same statement down here, Trump also mentioned, he spoke to Prime Minister Netanyahu after the attack, and the Israeli Prime Minister told him that now he wants to make peace. With that, you can figure out that option 2 seems to be more of an appropriate reason behind Israeli strike in Qatar. And both Israel and United States knows that the negotiation plan already includes forming a new non-Hamas Palestinian authority. That only means Israel has calculated that removing these people will not derail the talks. They can continue negotiations without them. Now let me show you how Israel did this airstrike. Israel did not send aircraft directly into the Qatari airspace. Instead, the strike was executed using a combination of long-range standoff weapons and fighter jets, operating from a safe distance. Now, Israeli Air Force used something called the air-launched ballistic missiles. So what happened was, 8 F-15s and 4 F-35 Israeli fighter jets went to the Red Sea. From there, they fired these missiles. Since these missiles are ballistic missiles, and if you know how ballistic missiles fly, they first fly into the space before re-entering the atmosphere and then head towards the strike target, that is Doha. This approach allows the missiles to bypass the airspace of neighboring Arab nations like Saudi Arabia without a formal violation. This is the reason why ballistic missiles are dangerous and game-changer. And the interesting part is, the ballistic missiles were launched mid-air from fighter jets. That demonstrates Israel's advanced military capabilities. It is possible, but it is uncommon. Because for this, you need to design the missile in such a way that it gets integrated to aircrafts. The aircraft then brings the missile to a high-speed, high-altitude launch point. The missile's rocket motor ignites or continues after release and performs a boost phase. Then the weapon follows a ballistic or glide trajectory towards the target. Now Russia has the KH-47M2 Kinzhal missile. F-15 has this air ballistic missile integration, but F-35 doesn't have that capability yet. The F-15 airframe can be adapted for large rocket-powered air-launched weapons. That's why you will see F-15 has a special place in the US Air Force strategy. Not just nostalgia, but because of what it can do compared to newer jets like F-35. F-15 has a big powerful airframe. It can carry more fuel and weapons. The Russian Kinzhal missile KH-47M2 can be deployed on MiG-31K and Tu-22 bomber. So this is how the Israeli F-15 fired these air ballistic missiles and neutralized their targets sitting in Doha. Now think about it. Qatar is a major ally of United States. That means Qatar also have United States Air Defense Network, the Patriot PAC-3 air defense system. But that failed to respond. And that raises questions about a potential system's failure or deliberate non-engagement. In theory, these systems should be able to detect and intercept incoming fighter aircraft or missiles. But that didn't happen. That's because again two things might have happened. One, these systems could not intercept or detect the trajectory of the incoming ballistic missiles. If that is the case, then serious question will be raised about Qatar's $1 billion investment. And point number two, Qatar's air defense systems are partially under US command control. Because to operate the Patriot defense system, they rely heavily on United States radars. Now that makes political control as important as technical ability. In other words, US commanders chose not to fire and avoid any escalation with Israel. So this is the whole story behind Israeli airstrike in Qatar. I hope you found this video informative. I'll see you in the next one.